Arizona fire officials are predicting an active fire season this year. They say conditions are reminiscent of 2002 and 2011, which led to the Rodeo Chediscay and Wallow fires, respectively. Jeff Whitney is Arizona State Forester.
In looking at our forecasts, the drought conditions, fuel conditions across the state at all elevations and all fuel types, one of the things that we in the wildland fire community believe is that we do have a tendency to look at patterns and outcomes, and fuel conditions, moisture regime, drought conditions today being what they are somewhat reminiscent of 2002 and 2011. And we had some significant fires in those 2 years. We have a relatively active fire season on average, somewhere between 7 and 10 years. And the last 2 years have been about half of what we typically see in terms of acres burned and numbers of wildfires. And so we are concerned that this year could very well be a significant fire load for us across the state at all elevations.
We've heard from some climatologists that this year's El Nino was not as robust as predicted. Did that play a role in your prediction for what this year's fire season might look like?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things we found in looking at the record was that even though an El Nino was predicted, 8 of the last 11, since we've been tracking it, have been average or below average and haven't really developed into what we would consider a big snowpack year, which was the thing that we were really hoping for.
Are there particular parts of the state that you think might be in more jeopardy this year for lots of fires than others?
My concern for various parts of the state are centered around the different kinds of fuel conditions and what we would consider our normal fire activity periods. This year, we already have seen considerably more fires than this time last year. For the first quarter of this year, we've seen about 100 more fires. Last year, we had about 150 fires. This year, we've already had about 250 fires. Virtually all of them are human-caused. Our fire activity has been markedly higher. This time last year, we'd only burned about 453 acres, and so far this year, we've burned over 20,000. So we've had some large fires, not only in southern Arizona, where we've got a pretty robust standing crop of cured perennial grasses, but we've also had some large wildfires around Flagstaff and over in the White Mountains. We had a 600-acre fire probably 7-8 weeks ago over in the Clay Springs area. And those are pretty good indications that this is setting up to be a rather active fire season for us all.
Jeff Whitney is Arizona State Forester. Jeff, thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Wildfires are a major force on the landscape after they're extinguished. That's the finding of a new paper from scientists at the University of Arizona who studied areas of the Valles Caldera National Preserve in New Mexico. John Pelletier is a professor of geosciences at U of A and the paper's co-author. John, what were you looking for in this research?
So it's been known for a long time that wildfires increase erosion rates for a short period of time, typically about a year following the wildfire events. Storms will come through, and the erosion rates will be higher than they are without the wildfire. But those events are relatively rare. So what we wanted to look at and investigate and quantify is the relative importance of wildfire, given the fact that it doesn't occur very often, but its effects are significant on the landscape. So there's been a debate in the scientific community about whether wildfires are more important in terms of the total amount of erosion that occurs over long timescales, or whether they're less important than sort of everyday floods that occur in the absence of wildfire effects.
And did you find that they are more or less important?
We found that they were more important and dramatically more important. And so at least in the Valles Caldera, where we were able to bring together several different data sets to quantify erosion over short timescales with and without the effects of wildfire, and also over longer timescales using a couple of different techniques, we were able to quantify that over geologic time, so over timescales of millennia and longer, wildfire erosion is more than 90% of the total erosion that occurs. So even though you could be out there in the landscape and measuring erosion for your whole lifetime, but if you weren't there when a high-severity wildfire occurred, you wouldn't be measuring the event that actually does most of the work on the landscape to change the landscape.
Do the changes tend to be the same regardless of where it is? In other words, are there some areas that have had severe wildfires where A has happened and another area that was affected by a big wildfire where B has happened?
Definitely there are variations in the response. And I would say that we've studied the Valles Caldera in detail. And in this particular region, wildfires are very important because the landscape is relatively gentle. There's very little bare ground, so the forest is very thick. The understory vegetation is very thick in the absence of a wildfire. So in this particular environment, I think we have the recipe for wildfire being very important because there's very little erosion that can occur in the absence of wildfire. But in other environments, if you go to steeper landscapes, landslides in the absence of wildfire may be more important. So yes, there are spatial variations in how the landscape responds to wildfire, but in almost all cases, the increase in erosion rate is at least a factor of 100 above what we call the background rates.
Does it matter what was there before the wildfire? Like if there was a desert wildfire versus one up in like northern Arizona where it's more pine tree kind of environment?
It absolutely does, yeah. So in this case, we're really talking about forested landscapes, and we can also get geomorphic effects after shrubland fires and grassland fires, but they typically tend to be not as dramatic in terms of the erosional response. And that could be a function of the fact that when you have more biomass in the landscape, when there's more trees, and the forested environment is thicker with vegetation, the fire burns hotter. And its effects on the landscape are greater relative to what the kinds of erosion that occurs in the absence of wildfire. So if you have more vegetation in the landscape, the normal erosion that occurs in the absence of fire tends to be lower because you've got vegetation as a protective effect on the landscape. It also, when you burn that fire at high severity, there's more of a change that occurs. So the fire actually gets hotter, the soil burns more you know, at a higher temperature, and that leads to more hydrophobicity. Hydrophobicity is the repellency of water by soil that's been burned. And so all those effects will increase the amount of runoff of water that you get for a certain amount of rainfall. And it's really that runoff that is driving the increase in erosion. So we get a lot more water running off the landscape. It acts less like a sponge than a normal landscape does in the post-fire environment. And that's what's bringing down the rock and soil.
John Pelletier is a professor of geosciences at U of A and the co-author of a paper looking at how erosion after wildfire shapes the landscapes. It's in the Journal of Geophysical Research.